voice is worth coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say, or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say. And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our hot topic, and one of the hot topics that's out there today is dealing with Islam. A lot of our blacks, men particularly, they are converting over to Islam. You'll see them, they'll go to prison. You know, they was raised in the church, even though they was not committed Christian. But when they get to prison, a lot of time they come out Islam, Muslims. They go there to prison being Christians, and a lot of time they come out Muslims and what have you. And but we have a guy on today. He gave his testimony a while back, and I'll have to look in the archives for them, because we had him once before here in the Situation Room, and he gave his testimony how he came out of Islam, how he converted out of Islam, and now he's a Christian. But he got a video that talks about the five problems with Islam. And so get close to your radio as he tell us about these five problems with Islam.
This topic where I told my conversion story from me converting from Islam to Christianity or Islam to Christianity, man, so many people were bashing me. So many people were saying that I was either lying or they were saying that I didn't give any logical proof as to why Islam or being a Muslim is not the way to go. So in this video, man, I know so many people have been waiting on. I'm finally going to address for you all five problems with Islam. This is not five things I hate about Islam. This is not five reasons why Islam is stupid or Muslims are stupid. Again, I love all people. This is no beef. But this is really just me addressing logical reasons, theological reasons, religious reasons, whatever, as to why Islam is not fundamentally accurate as a faith. So in reason number one, we're going to get into really the history or the origin of Islam. So a lot of Muslims will teach that, you know, that Abraham, Ishmael, Jacob, David, Jesus, they will teach that these men were Muslims. But as we know, Islam didn't really start until about 600 years after Christianity, or after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it started by their greatest prophet, Muhammad. And when it started, Muhammad was about 25 years old. His wife, Khadija, was about 40. And
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, we got an ad, and so we're having to try to get this ad off here. Hold on just a moment.
Muhammad, for whatever reasons, he went off into the caves to really kind of find himself or to pray, to meditate, whatever his reasons were. And in this story, Muhammad was encountered by what he said himself were demons. This is not a story I'm making up. This is literally what Islam teaches. He encountered evil spirits according to his story. These evil spirits told him that they were coming with the true message from the true God, who they were saying was Allah, and Muhammad did not believe them. He went and told his wife, Khadijah. He said, yo, some demons came to me aggressively and told me that they were of God. His wife, Khadijah, who was not with him during this encounter, said, no, baby, those were angels. Those weren't demons. Listen to what they were telling you. And that was the origin of Islam. And the reason why that doesn't really make any sense is, one, she wasn't there to tell him his encounter, to say, like, those were angels. Two, if you look anywhere in the Bible, every time someone encountered an angel, they never mistook an angel for an evil spirit. So for the founder of their faith, the greatest prophet within Islam, to say himself that those were demons, that speaks volumes. And that is literally the origin of the faith of Islam. Reason number two, the creation, as to how men were created. This is really just speaking to many different contradictions within it, where there's one place where it says Allah made man out of semen, like just literally out of sperm. Another place it says that Allah created man from the dust of the earth, which sounds pretty similar to the Bible. But then another place it says that Allah created man from a blood clot. And then another place it says that man was created out of nothing. So just in this area, we can see so many contradictions. It's like, how was man created? Was I created out of blood? Was I created out of sperm? Was I created out of dust? Was I created out of nothing? For him to be confused as to how he created man, that just doesn't speak to a God who is brilliant, who is all-knowing, and that would mean he cannot be God. Reason number three is something that is also kind of a bit of a contradiction, or just really doesn't work or doesn't make any sense. Muslims do not have a huge issue with the Bible, or really Christianity for that fact. They will say that, you know, that the Bible is a good book, that Christianity, Christians are cool people, whatever, but what Islam teaches is that the Bible is corrupted, that it has elements of God's word, but it's been changed and altered. But the flaw with that is that Islam also says that the Quran cannot be changed or altered. The reason why it can't be changed or altered is because it's Allah's word, and Allah's word can't be changed or altered. But if you see the contradiction there, if the Bible used to be Allah's word, but it was changed and altered, how then can the Quran, which is Allah's word, not be changed or altered? Or you can flip it around. If Allah's word can't be changed or altered, if it can't be error, and they say that the Bible was Allah's word, then really, in essence, since it doesn't line up with the Quran, we have to ask ourselves, which one is true? They can't both be true, or one can't be wholly true and one be kind of true. Like, it just, the logic there just doesn't make sense again. Reason number four is something else that seems like a bit of a contradiction, or something that's confusing, is speaking about their view of heaven and hell, in particular women, when it comes to heaven and hell. One of the things that it teaches that many people know, one of the things that everybody knows about and talks about, is how it says that when a man dies and goes to paradise, their version of heaven, it teaches that he gets X amount of virgin wives and women to sleep with. I believe the number is 72. And the reason why that doesn't make sense, I'm not even going to speak about how carnal that sounds, about just a man getting all of these women that he could just now have sex with. Not even addressing that. The thing I want to address is how it also says that there are way more women in hell than in paradise. Like, it literally says that hell is full of women, because women are ungrateful for men or ungrateful for their husbands. So not to get into the misogyny of that, or the gender oppression of that, but just one addressing how, okay, if more women go to hell than to heaven, then how are there way more women than men in heaven? Because when you do the math, think about it logically. If for every man in paradise or heaven, there are 72 women, then in essence, there are more women than men in heaven. Also, the question I would have to ask is, where do all of these women come from? Are these new women that have been created just for the sexual pleasure of these Muslim men? That's a whole nother conversation that I'm not trying to get into right now. All right, and lastly, reason number 5, and really this is the most important reason. They do not offer a way of salvation, a way you can truly be saved. Islam will teach all of these different actions and works that you need to do, whether it's the 5, you know, your 5 prayers a day, facing towards Mecca, whether it is the trip you need to take to Mecca at least once in your life, you know, whether it's, you know, you giving to the poor, all of these different things that you have to do in order to reach Allah. There is no actual way for them to verify if they've done enough. One of the analogies that are given is that their good works create a bridge. With all of the good works and the deeds that they do, it will create a bridge. And that bridge is what will get you to reach paradise. If you've not done enough good works, then you haven't built enough of a bridge to reach paradise. But you never really know if you've done enough until you die. Let's say you just converted to Islam. Let's say you've only been a Muslim for about 5 years. You know, have you done enough within those 5 years? Let's say you just converted last week and you die today. Do you have salvation? Are you not able to enter paradise and be with Allah for all of eternity? It just doesn't really add up or make any sense. There's no way to truly know if you have salvation. But that is not the faith of Christianity. The faith of Christianity teaches that we could never do enough because we're sinners, because we are flawed. But God loved us so much and loves us so much that He sent His Son to take our punishment of our sins out of His love. And He traded places with us. So now it's not about our perfection or our holiness that gets us to heaven, but it's that His own holiness is now the payment to get us there. It's not an excuse for Christians to sin or live however we want to live, but also that in His death, He didn't just purchase our salvation, He also purchased us the ability to have a relationship with Him and ultimately live holy and live a life for Him. Anyway, these are my reasons, and I hope y'all enjoyed the video. I never want these videos to be offensive or disrespectful to anyone. But aside from that, man, thank y'all for tuning in and watching. Let me know what else y'all would like me to talk about, whether it's about Islam, Christianity, any questions you might have. I'll definitely try to do my best to have those answered for y'all. Also, man, make sure that y'all like this video, y'all subscribe, click that bell notification for the next videos Diamond and I are going to be putting out. Appreciate y'all so much for tuning in. Love y'all very much, and I'll see y'all in the next video. Blessings.
All right. That was... I believe his name is Cyrus, and I think he has a YouTube podcast. I think it's called Cyrus Speak. All right. That's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.